Well, good evening.
Good evening.
How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, you can if you want to, how many of you remember a time in your life when you were really hungry? And I don't mean just hungry from the day, but I mean really hungry. Like you hadn't eaten for a few days, or maybe a week. In our modern culture, certainly in suburbia, that isn't always the case that we know that. Now, some people certainly in our society do, but a lot don't. We could go just a mile from here, not a long walk, and go to a grocery store that is filled to the rim with all kinds of things. Things that are good for you, things that are not so good for you. You could go to another store another mile away and find the same thing. If you wanted to travel, it's not too complicated, right? Unless maybe you don't have a car, but even then you could find a bus, maybe. Or you could find other avenues. You could even walk on paved sidewalks. When we start to dive a little deeper, our world looks a little different than the one that Jesus was in, and certainly the one that we hear the story of Exodus in. But go back to those times just for a moment. In the story of Exodus, we have the Hebrew people who are living in a place of servanthood, of slavehood, under the Pharaoh. And in the midst of that, now you have to remember that the Hebrew people were quite numerous. They probably outnumbered the Egyptians because of the work and different things that were being required to do. And sort of, you know, when this story starts to happen, it's sort of like they figure that out. And they start figuring that out, and God starts talking to them, and God starts showing them favor. And they're hearing the story of they're going to be led out, and they're going to go somewhere, and yet the Pharaoh is having none of that, because why? Well, who's going to let go of free labor? And so the command has gone out to, you know, Pharaoh is commanding different things to happen, and he's killing people and causing problems, and God is also sending the plagues out, and things are happening, and the Passover happens, and we get this story of what would be later interpreted to become Seder meals, or the first Passover meal, and God gives very particular instructions, and you have to pay close attention to what's being said. It doesn't mean much to us, but we could translate it a little differently. You know, take the meat that you just got and cook it as fast as you can on your barbecue. Don't boil it. Don't find other ways to make it better. Just cook it as fast as you can. And when you sit down to eat, have your best business suit on, your shoes on, your nicest dress on, have your bags packed, your purse on your shoulder, and be ready to go as soon as possible. And eat it hurriedly. And eat so fast that you don't have time to go buy fresh baked bread, but just throw some flour in a bowl, stir it up, and bake it, and that's your bread. Most of us don't do that, but it's hard to make that one work. But this is the urgency that is in the scripture. The urgency is that this is not how a meal would normally be enjoyed. This is not what would normally happen. And yet, in the Passover meal, there's a sense that we're supposed to be ready and guarded. Jesus at the Last Supper gathers with his disciples and tells the story of the Passover meal once again. It's called the Passover meal. It might not have looked quite like the Seder that maybe of you have been to a Seder meal with people. We've done some here. You've been with your friends that are Jewish. It probably wouldn't have looked quite like that. But the Passover is happening, and the Passover meal is one of memory. It's a time of remembering the story of Exodus, to remember the slavery that the people were called out of, to remember not to be slaves again, to remember what God had done for them, to remember the story of their ancestors. And Jesus is there in the midst of that, and he says, "Take and eat this bread and remember me." And there's urgency. because he's about to be crucified. The guards are literally coming to get him. His staff is ready. He is prepared for what is next. And in the midst of that, he gathers with his disciples and he says, "Remember me." What are you enslaved to in your life? What holds your attention fully? What are the things that God is calling you away from? And what is God calling you to? What would your Passover meal look like, in which God is filling you with the telling promises that God has for you? The promise of eternal life, the promise of peace, the promise of forgiveness, the promise of reconciliation. What is it that is holding you back from that same life? That might be a question, I think it is a question, that's worth asking all the time. You see, the point of telling that story again and again, and as the Jewish people gather around their Passover celebrations, as they gather to recall, and they're gathering this week, it's the same time that we're gathering, I don't know if it's tonight, but they're gathering in the same time period. They're telling that story once again to remember their spiritual call, to remember their relationship with God, and in much the same way we are called. But as Christians, we have it a little bit differently in that we remember it through Jesus. We remember it in the breaking of the bread. And it's a call to an urgency for us. Now here's the trick. We have communion in the Episcopal Church. You know, how many of you were around back when they did communion every Sunday in the Episcopal Church or in churches, right? Some of you remember that. You remember it was morning prayer most of the time, and once a month or maybe once a quarter, just like the Baptists. You know, some of them are still doing it. And then we change our prayer book, and it's like every single time we get together, we have communion. And at first, it was awesome, right? Or maybe it wasn't. But the challenge is, we get too used to it. It's just like those stores that are filled. We get so used to the story, it just sort of washes over us, and we don't realize what's really being said or what's really being required of us. And that is that we remember Jesus and the breaking of the bread, that we remember and we recall what Jesus has done for us and what our call is in each of our lives with some urgency. In a few moments, the clergy will have the opportunity to wash feet of whoever decides to come up. This does not require participation. You're encouraged to come up. And we promise not to judge anyone. If you saw my toes, you'd know why. So, but we'll wash your feet as a symbol of what Jesus did with his disciples, as a symbol of that same servanthood. We'll also break bread together as a part of our beginning of the great holy days, the 3 days of holiness in which we remember what Jesus has done for us. And then, just as in the story that we heard for tonight, as it continues, we'll strip the altar of everything that's up there. We'll clean out the sanctuary. We'll turn the lights down. And our next move will be towards the crucifixion. So what do you remember when we break the bread? What do you remember when we share the cup with each other? What does it mean for God to love you for who you are? That's not up to me to try to answer for you. But I think those are the questions that's at the heart of what we do tonight. For me, as your priest and as your leader, to wash the feet that come up is to be reminded of the humble service that we're all called to. To be in the midst of breaking the bread is to look out upon a congregation and see all of the brokenness and the redemption that's happening. All of the struggles and all of the joys. And to know that in the midst of that moment, we are remembering why we're here. We are remembering what Jesus has done for us. And we are remembering why we love him and why he loves us. And everyone's welcome to partake in the feast. And everyone's welcome to hear the story, maybe for the first time or maybe for the millionth time. And everyone's there to remember. But don't just get used to it. Let it mean something. Try to listen with different ears. Try to see with different eyes. What is God calling us to? And how is God helping us to remember when we wash the feet and we break the bread? Amen.